Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it is always wonderful to be here with you. Tonight's program, of course, is going to be a continuation of what we've been talking about all week, and that, of course, entails the crazy verdict that just recently came down roughly 1 week ago today. We're going to talk very candidly about some of the actions, plans that are in the midst, some things that we are preparing to do, and give you some reports on some of the rallies and so forth that have been taking place all week, and also to give you some information about rallies that are coming up this week. But we're going to also talk about, needless to say, Marissa Alexander. We're going to talk very shortly with Dr. Randy Short, who has also a report for us regarding a brother who was hung in Texas. And, of course, we're going to also talk with Sister Pam Africa, who is going to give us an update on Mumia Abu-Jamal, but also who's going to give us an update on something that's going on here in Philly with the molestation in our community, and also a report on a rally that took place today and so forth and so on. But before we go into all of that, we, of course, always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are certainly very, very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. The segment, of course, moves on into our dialogue as we prepare to bring about a boycott. You know, there are several calls out there for that, but the Million Woman Movement is in the process of really coordinating something that we know is going to be very productive and very effective. It's one thing to call for a boycott. It's another thing to organize for one. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. For those who want to volunteer to help coordinate in your city, we want to make certain that we get your information. And what that means is this. Again, it's one thing to say to people, don't do this, don't buy that, or whatever, but how do we really get that message across? How do we really make certain that it is happening? And remember, if we tell our people, okay, don't buy Tropicana orange juice, which we know is one of the products that does come out of Florida, if we tell them, don't buy that product, well, okay, they're going to buy some orange juice, so they're going to buy somebody else's product and still make some white man richer. So we need to be very strategic now. When we say don't buy something, we need to make certain that we have another mode of operations that we're putting in place, and MWM and its affiliates do. Therefore, we're going to tell you about that a little later on as well. We're going to also talk with Sister Manira Bomani, who is going to give us a report from out of Newark in regards to the rally that took place there today. And we're going to tell you about the upcoming rally that the Million Woman Movement will be holding here in Philly, and the call we're putting out to all of the sisters who attended the Million Woman March in 1997. We're letting all of them know that we are now moving forward as a global movement, and definitely want them to now speak up as we say justice for Trayvon Martin and his family, but also justice for Marissa Alexander. We want her released. So as the sisters now move forward and demand that our sons and our daughters are no longer victimized and definitely not murdered, we're also saying that our women have to also now be respected and honored. And while we prepare for this boycott for Florida, we're also preparing to boycott the music and so-called entertainment industry. Now, tonight, Lil Wayne is supposedly in Camden, New Jersey. We were not able to do what we had wanted to do today in Camden because of all the other things that were going on, but we do have a listing of some upcoming tour locations for Lil Wayne, and we are definitely going to be ready for them. So we're going to give you that information tonight as well. Before we go any further, though, what we like to do is, let's see, we want to play something for you that we kind of ran across a little while ago, hoping it'll come up okay. We found, of course, Mos Def You know, Mos Def has been really doing some productive and positive things lately. And we want to kind of point these things out because there's such a smear on hip-hop now. And, you know, it got to be clear to people that all hip-hop is not negative. You know, the industry put that out there in order to really kind of twist what was really going on, because there was a lot of powerful information being put out there. And when, you know, other people saw that this was happening and folks were getting information and getting insight and getting some education and some edification, well, needless to say, here comes this, you know, thug gangster rap thing, and that was to dismantle things like Public Enemy, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, you know, so many more that were really doing things that was very, very enlightening and inspirational. So, again, we can't let them take away what we know was really, really progressive and positive. Does anyone remember Digable Planet? Okay. There's no way that you could, if you've ever heard them, there's no way that you could forget them. And, of course, this past week, we did a tribute to John Coltrane, and we talked with a brother from Detroit in regards to his group In the Tradition. So we know that the music is still flowing, it's still coming forward, and we're going to help to make it happen even more so. So with that said, let's go back to what I was initially pointing out, which is Mos Def, who has done a tribute to Trayvon Martin along with Dead Prez and a few other productive, positive brothers. And we just want to share that with you right about now, so hopefully we can pull that up. And let's see what we got here. Okay. Here we are.
Central Police Department, Lions Den Records, please.
Now let's put it all in perspective before the outrage turns out this direction. What can we do so our community protects it? I believe that should be our main objective. While we're full of rage, we want to make a difference. Let's do it more than protest. Let's make a commitment to control action. It's emotional reaction. Seems like she never passed. Organized, they seem martial arts class. Take to the gun range, make your aim action. That's the best of the month by any tactic. Truth, you pull the call, make it a daily track. They say I look suspicious, I get it all the time. Pro black face, panic when they drop down. Follow me, get on the track. Tell them to come get me. You better get your gun, you be the judge. Yeah. We gotta make better war move. Polish our own tools. Fight back to cover force to be aggressive. Let us feel the consequence for the next weapon. They do what they want to do. They think they can. In a stand, there's no respect for the black man. What's the solution? The felon of the bullet. Give me that tip to that vote. Never give us free. I tell you, young people, don't have protest.
It was random for me to confusion.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, we're going to try to do that a little later on again because we know that some parts of it might not have come through clearly. So there's a little bit of static going on where we're at. There's kind of like a rainstorm happening. So we're having some lightning and thunder, and it's kind of interfering a little bit with our equipment. But nevertheless, I think you all got the message. I think you kind of got a feeling of what was being said. That was Most Def, of course, and the brother from I just love this particular tune. Actually, by the way, it's called Made You Die. I think it was M1 was in it also, and it was a couple other brothers, but we're going to go back to that a little later on. But at any rate, we're going to move forward, and we're going to talk more about what we know is probably the hottest topic in all circles right about now, and that is, of course, the verdict that came down last Saturday. What is also being discussed, of course, is the fact that a boycott is definitely moving forward, and we have some information we're going to share with you a little later on in terms of the products that we're focusing on and also some of the strategies that we're talking about as we proceed. We're going to also tell you more about rallies that are coming up here in Philly. We got one coming up on Tuesday here in Philly, as well as on Sunday that the Million Women Movement will be convening, and there are others going on all over the country. But right about now, what we want to do is get ready to go to our live line. And as we indicated earlier, we have our sister Pam Africa going to be joining us in a few moments. Of course, we're going to get an update on what's going on with our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal, but also we're going to give you an update on what some of our sisters are doing here in Philly as it pertains to addressing some of the violence and the violations, shall we say, that is occurring in our community, and how our sisters and brothers are stepping forward to address it. But sisters, it is definitely time that we make it clear that we are no longer going to sit back and be silent and be quiet for those sisters who are being abused, have been abused. We want you to know that help is here. With that said, we're going to go to our live line, and right about now, we're going to bring in our sister Pam Africa, of course, the chairwoman of the Concerned Family and Friends, the International Concerned Family and Friends for Mumia Abu-Jamal, and also my sister personally, who, you know, has always been there and has always been in support of the Million Women March and now its movement. And so we're going to talk to our sister again and get a update on Mumia Abu-Jamal, but also some insight into some of the things that are going on here in Philly, and definitely some of the things that are going on in the political prisoner arena on a national level. Sister Pam is going to also give us some insight into a recent transition of one of our warrior brothers from the RNA. Oh, no. But without further ado, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now is Sister Pam Africa. Hey, Pam, we got you.
Hey, now.
All right. How you liking this weather? Did you get the lightning up your end?
Yes, it is. It was a lot of lightning, but no rain as of yet right now.
Okay.
Right. So, on the move, family.
All right. All right. Well, our boards is lit up, sister. So, I guess we want to start with if you give us just a brief overview of. I know you had a recent visit with Mumia.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. One of the things that people should know, that they did lift the ban on Mumia not being able to make phone calls and the issue with his son. Let me explain to people what that was about. And Mumia has a radio show once a month on WURD, co-hosted by attorney Michael Court, and it's called the Prison Courtroom. Prison courtroom, where Mumia, you know, talks from, you know, Ma Hanoi prison. Well, what was happening, you cannot make a three-way phone call. And in order for Mumia to call Michael Kors, they have to record the calls, and he would need Attorney Michael Kors' number or WRD, because at the time of the show, Mumia is in lock-in. And what happened behind the fact that they did not accept Michael Kors' call, phone number, or WRD, Mumia called through Johanna Fernandez, and she's the sister that did a documentary movie on Mumia, and Justice on Trial, and she has the New York campaign to bring Mumia home. So when he called through to her, she had to call Michael, and they taped the show. Well, of course, the prison, you know, is listening to it. They listen to the show, and they called Mumia in, and they told him that, you know, he violated their procedures, and he was warned about that, that if he used the three-way, then his phone calls would be suspended. So, you know, that's what they did. And they had a hearing, and Mumia pleaded guilty and because he did do a three-way call. But what he explained is, why he had to do it. Mumia's a journalist, and he explained that, you know, he had this radio program, and it was the violation where it came from, and because they refused to put Michael Kors' number on, and they refused to put WRD, you know, number on, and of course, you know, phone calls hit from around the world, and it put pressure on them, so they backed up off of that. And also, Mumia has recorded, you know, another show for, I believe it's, you know, it's the August show, or might come on, you know, earlier, you know, late, you know, later this month, and all, because they are trying to get him to do two shows, you know, a month. As for his son, Jamal, we have a victory there, and because at My Hanoi, and, you know, if you are an inmate and have a relative that's an inmate, and they tell you that your relative cannot come in. And Mumia's son Jamal is on parole, and he hadn't seen his father because Jamal has spent 15 years in jail himself, and he hadn't seen his father in, you know, over 15 years. And when he went up to visit him, Jamal, who is a pretty smooth dresser, and he went in, they thought that he was one of the attorneys, and they let him in. And once they realized that he was let in on a contact visit, he got to hug his father, you know, talk and, you know, break bread with him and, you know, drink, you know, water and stuff with him. They were really upset about it, and they canceled the visits. So what Mumia did is filed the grievance. And at the same time that he filed the grievance, we went on the airways with it. And, again, phone calls from around the world hit. And because it's one of the most ridiculous, you know, laws, you know, that there is. And, you know, if a person does their time, they do, you know, they do their time. And, you know, that's what Jamal had did. Well, anyway, that was broken. Mumia can only put people on his list every 3 months. And also, his son will be able to visit, and he put his grandson on there, which he had never, you know, was able to hold or touch. And also the grandsons and Jamal was going up, you know, in August. So those are two victories, and you know, for us, because when you break the break those unjust laws for Mumia, and or you break them for the entire, you know, prison system. So, you know, that's what was happening there. And Mumia also is in the process of writing a new book. Long Distance Revolutionary is now out on DVD. So, you know, people can get them by calling Prison Radio Project. And if you're in the Philadelphia area, you can contact us for copies of the you know, Long Distance Revolutionary. So that's what's happening with Mumia so far. Oh, one more thing. When I was up visiting Mumia, I was telling him about the victory that we had at Temple as well. For those people mm-hmm. that's in the listening audience that don't know what I'm talking about, they had assigned two white women to head the African American Studies Department, which is completely outrageous. And also students got together and the community got together, and we broke that in a matter of, you know, a few months. And the head of the the African American Studies Department now is Professor Malefi Asante. Him and Dr. Tony Montero, they was going back and forth on who was going to wind up, you know, taking the position, because it was a toss between the two. And Dr. Tony Montero definitely wanted Malefi to take it. And I'm really, really glad and that he didn't get the piece, because we was fighting for him to be director of the Schoenberg up in New York theater, where, you know, Malcolm's records mm-hmm. are archived, and a lot of the black, you know, movement, you know, records and things are archived. So if he would have got that job, he wouldn't have had the job where he is the head director of the African American Studies Department.
Right.
And also, when I was telling Mumi about that and telling him about Dr. Tony Montero's classes, and which is every Saturday at the Church of the Advocate, and I'm telling you, his classes are very, very good classes. He used to mm-hmm. have these classes. These are the summer classes at mm-hmm. Temple. But Temple, who's having a tantrum about, you know, the forcing of them getting rid of the white female teachers and of as the head of the African American Studies Department, they stopped Professor Tony Montero from having, you know, his summer classes. He could no longer get a room. And Professor Malefi Asante couldn't get him a room. So which forced him mm-hmm. into the community, and he has some very
right.
nice, you know, classes and all. So whatever they mm-hmm. do to try to hurt us only, you know, make us stronger. And, you know, it's out in the community. The classes is from 9 to 12 every Saturday, and I make it a point, and all, you know, to be there. We've been dealing with the Haitian mm-hmm. Revolution. And, you know, and W.E.B. Du Bois, you know, insight, you know, on that. So when Mumia asked me to ask Professor Malefi Asante and about him taking a Ph.D. course in African-American studies, and I asked Tony, I said, Tony, I said, I'm really tied up right now. Could you get hold of Brother Malefi and tell him that Mumia is asking about taking a Ph.D. course? Mumia had two other, you know, college degrees, one from Goddard, you know, one from New College, you know, one for law. And he also have a Ph.D. in herbology, and, you know, so... they stopped Mumia's flight for, you know, education and, you know, mm-hmm. when he was up in Greene County. So here we are at Temple, and Professor Malefi Asante was overjoyed and to find out that Mumia wanted to take, you know, his, you know, take the African-American study course. So this
right.
is what's happening. The application is going in, and Mumia will not only be a student and all, but he will also, because Mumia is very well, you know, educated in African American studies, and also he will also be teaching as well as, you know, learning more. And our hopes with this is that, you know, Mumia will be able to teach the course in the prison. And because there is,
yeah.
You're right, right. Because there is no courses, you know, in the prisons, you know, anymore.
Right.
So we're trying to, you know, open, you know, that door, you know, as well. And
wow.
I think Mumia's new book will be entitled Murder Incorporated. And that's dealing with the corporations and all, you know, that is causing the death of everyone and all legally and all, you know, so-called legally. So, you know, that's what, you know, was happening with Mumia. And I can't get my computer up, so I can't get the information on the political prisoner, brother. That'll be for, you know, another show.
Okay.
And so here's another subject that, you know, I was out with brother Wesley Bay at Clark Park today, and we did an update on where we're at with the case of the brother formerly known as Brother Jabalwi, who is a drummer and a teacher and a guidance person for youth, and all, who we found out to be a child pedophile person and a rapist of women. And, you know, we've been putting this out, and all, because the danger here, I was contacted, you know, for people who's not familiar with what we're talking about, and myself and Sister Filet was contacted by Sister Basima Muhammad, because we were asked to come to a meeting dealing with a situation with one of our young sisters and our young women sisters and our, you know, in the community. And we found out that she had been molested and all, you know, raped and all by Brother Jabalwi and all, you know, what is that other name? And all, because I don't hardly want to be calling him an African. What is it?
Wazuri.
What? No, 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 I'm not talking about no African name. I'm talking about that slave name.
Oh, the slave name. Bradford.
Bradford, yes. And so anyway, Bradford and all, who is formerly known as Brother Jabalwi, you know, when we got there and all, the young sister had stated that, you know, other folks knew about this and she was crying and all, saying, you know, how could people allow this to happen to her? And I had no idea what she was talking about, and neither did Sister Filet, and I've come to find out that a lot of people knew and all, that this man was a predator and all, you know, a molester of women and all, and someone that was trusted within the community. And she was saying that, you know, nothing would happen because it is Brother Jabalwi. And, you know, we assured her and all the men that, the brothers that was in the room and us, that, you know, we would deal with this situation. The sister is a very well, you know, known sister in the community and a truthful sister. As she told her story, as she wiped away the tears, she was very upset that people already knew how, you know, what kind of person that he was. And she could not understand how come he was allowed to be around them and, you know, and given so much respect by people who knew. So she challenged us. You know, I'm not going through the whole story. She challenged us. And for those who didn't know, now you know. And for those who do know, what is your position now? What are you going to do? And all, you know, because this should not have happened to her and a whole lot of other people if people had dealt with the situation properly years ago. We're talking about a 40-year history of this man molesting young black women and children within our community. Well, when she asked us to help, that's exactly what we have been doing. And that's what I'm saying. We've gathered, you know, a 40-year history. And today, while I'm at the park, and all, you know, I find out that he improperly handled, you know, a man's daughter today, a younger child. And, you know, at that point, and again, because this was Brother Jabalwi, and all, you know, and he's respected in the community. When he came to get his daughter, and you know, he was told that this 3-year-old child was your brother Jabbar. He took her to the bathroom, and you know, and the brother thought this was strange, you know, and he was assured by one of the sisters that, you know, oh, you know, he, you know, so he said he was feeling some kind of way, but this is Brother Jabbar. So, you know, I'm not thinking nothing. He don't really know whether anything happened to his 3-year-old, but why would a male be taking and a 3-year-old little girl to the bathroom alone? I mean, you know, at any point, whether it's alone or with somebody else, when there's other women, you know, around. So I'm saying, you know, Brother Wesley Bay of the Morris Unification and family, and is helping host a meeting at Sister Clara Muhammad's school on August the 3rd at 1 o'clock. And we're urging people who are concerned about what is happening to our young folks at their earliest age. Me, myself, I am a victim of, you know, as a child, and all being molested, and all, you know, and it took a lot for this young sister to be able to come forth, stand up and stand before women and men in a room, and all with tears streaming down her eyes, asking why? Why did y'all allow this to happen to me? And all, you know, I was brought up, you know, as a, you know, child believing that I was protected. Why didn't you protect me? And this is what we're getting at, the why, the who, and the fact that this shall never, ever happen again, and all, to one of our children. What we did, and all the sisters, we had a vigil, I guess we passed out flyers in Jabbar's block, and exposing him to the community around. Because again, for people, you know, because, you know, just like this little this young woman told us, you know, she says, you know, she thinks that nothing's going to happen because it is Jabbar. And I'm saying, we have met, as Sister Filet can tell, and as Sister Basima can tell, we've come up against some heavy criticism, and all, for trying to protect, and all, not trying to, for protecting, and all, you know, our young sisters. And all, you know, so it's nothing to do now but bring this to the community, bring the situation. And in doing this, we also found out about a whole lot of other cases, which blew our mind. It was like, whoa, what is going on here? And, you know, so it's a subject that must be talked about. And not only did we find out about, you know, male predators, but there are women predators as well. And this is something that is hidden. And it's got to come out for the protection and the sanity of these children. After I got finished speaking today, there was a whole lot of sisters, elder sisters in their 60s. I'm 66 right now. I'll be 66 in November. And a sister told me, she said, well, sis, I am 67. And she said, I sat there, she said, and I listened to what it was you saying, and she started telling me what happened to her as a child, which caused her to wind up on drugs later on, and, you know, being very, you know, out there with men, and, you know, and, you know, dabbling, you know, another sister was saying, you know, she wound up dabbling in homosexuality and all because, you know, of the hate that she felt for herself and what had happened to her. And, you know, having that fear of going out and speaking out about it, and all because what would actually happen, people would look at her and act as if, you know, she was filthy. And that she was the cause of it, and that stuff happens, and it happened to me as a child, and you know, and you bottle these things up inside you, and for the protection of these young women, and who have stepped forth and talking about what's happened to them, we must assure them, you know, good strong men, good strong women, good strong whomever, who experience these things. And, you know, we're stepping up and we're talking about what's happened to us and how these things affected us, you know, to help these youth and go through these things. And some of them, like I said, you know, elder women were coming forth and saying how this affects, you know, them. Brothers was coming forth and talking about what effect finding out, you know, what happened to their sisters and things So we're coming together and are hoping that the community will help us come to a solution in dealing with this situation. So, again, we're asking people August the 3rd, to come out to, I believe it's 4800 Lancaster or Wailusing. Do you have the address,
mm-hmm.
Sister Filet?
Yeah, it's Wailusing.
Right, from 1 o'clock mm-hmm. on. Because the reason why we didn't say 1 to 4, because what if, you know, we're in a healing process, at that particular time, or we're strategizing on what it is, you know, how we're going to deal with the situation within the community. Because there's a whole lot of feedback of what people would like to do with this situation. But we're coming together as a community to actually, you know, deal with this situation, but more so to help those victims and if they want to come forth that day, they can come forth that day. But if they don't, the information about Brother Jawalvi, there's a letter that's going around using the word alleged rape. There was nothing alleged about this, rape. There's nothing alleged about the history of Jawalvi. People cannot wind up, going into this thing, because, we all, damn, Brother Jawalvi, it can't be. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's the truth. And we're asking people to come out and help us. And we're exposing him. There's going to be a flyer going around with his picture on it because, Mom D. Baxter, she said, who? I'm trying to picture him. She's seen him, and a lot of people seen him, but they don't know the name. And also, children are, children and, young women can still fall victim of him. He's very charismatic, as all demons are, who possess this and able to talk. He talked his way into several African schools that, allowed him to be able to, allowed him to be able to do what it is that he, that he was doing. Mm-hmm. Behind them, not speaking up, but, this is a new day. This is a new day. And we get upset about, what happened to Trayvon, we must be just as upset about what happened, to these young sisters, and we must help them heal. So that's my story on that. And Marissa Alexander, I was
absolutely
at the demonstration for Trayvon today, magnificent. Oh, my God, and I heard that the news said it was about 200, it was about 2,000. I'm
all
not
right.
good at counting this, but from from 6th and Market to 7th and Market, both sides of the streets was filled inside the street with a strong, speaking from the people, and because this, and people wanted to march. At first, it was just going to be a rally there, but people had to move that anger that they felt, and they marched through the street. I seen people, Sister Filet, I hadn't seen in years. I thought they was on an altogether different level, but this tragedy has brought people out, and what I love about it, is this movement where people are continuing to, still protest and, still, join together and speak out and show this government in 100 cities across the United States, very large demonstrations, that we're not accepting this. We're not accepting this. And so far, the demonstrations have been so-called peaceful, but I'm saying this government is seeing something that they're fearful of. The president came out yesterday, after several days of protests and people protesting, black and white and Latino and, people of all colors, of all levels of life, is upset not one more time. Can we allow this to go on? And, there's going to be a huge march in Washington and, the event that you're doing on the 27th, we're just constantly keeping this thing in the forefront. As I was saying to brothers and sisters in the park today, when Shaka Sankofa, he was a young brother, that was on death row with evidence of innocence. It was said that if Shaka dies, there'll be fire in the sky. And it was said with several other things. And I clearly pointed out I didn't see the puff of smoke from a damn match. Nothing. So this government see us as, they're going to have a one-day demonstration. I'm fired up. I ain't taking no more. And they sit back and say, okay, y'all fired up. You ain't taking no more. They throw some more bodies at us. And we holler that again, but they're seeing and feeling something different now. It's up to us to keep that movement going. We are powerful. We are
absolutely
a powerful people, and we have the power to pull other people in to our plight as long as we don't allow them slippery, slimy politicians to jump
that's
in there
right.
And be the cowboy that will corral the, stampeding herd and run them right on back into the corral and lock the gate. We can't allow that to happen this time. We cannot allow that to happen this time. And I don't care what kind of little slick words that they're saying that, there's no proof that this is racial. They have people debating it, back and forth. Bull, we all know it was racial. And nobody's going to allow it to stop. That movement to stop. It's continuing to go ahead. The demonstrations there's smaller demonstrations during the week at different places leading up to bigger demonstrations. So that's my report.
Pam, I see
right
you're
going
to be at one at Calvary Church on Tuesday. Is that correct?
I sure am. Come to think of it, yeah. And the People Power with Sister Patrice. I don't have a flyer in front of me. Tomorrow, I'm going up to New York for the coordinating of the international coordinating meeting for MUMIA at 12 o'clock. And then I'm going over to a birthday celebration honoring Automatics and raising monies for people to go to Virginia And,
right.
In the case of Tawana Brawley, for people who don't know that case, that was the case of a young woman. Oh, gosh, was it 30 years ago, 25 years ago?
1988, 87 okay. It happened, but the trial was in 88. Yes.
Okay. Well, this young black girl was coming home, and she was abducted by some police officers, raped. Her body was mutilated. Cigarettes was put off in the back on her back, and they raped her. You know, several times they put feces all over her back and stuck her in a trash bag. Stuck her in a trash bag, leaving her for dead. And I went up to Poughkeepsie and to the trials, and I saw the magnificent legal battle that was done by Attorney Alton Maddox in this case. And he won the battle, but Pagonis didn't do a day in jail. In fact, they turned around and tried to fine him, and because he exposed this, and not only did he expose what was happening, you know, with Tawana Brawley, and but the murder of a police officer who was involved in the rape.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me? This man's license
yep.
was taken away from him, and because he dared to stand up, and for a young woman who was raped. And, you know, I just love Alton Maddox and all for his stand-up, because when a young black child was sexually molested and all at the Phillies baseball game here in Philadelphia, I can't remember what year that was. It was in the late 80s or the 90s, Brother Barashango
yep.
and a lot of people, you know, was there. We protested, and our Alton Maddox came down with two busloads full of black folks and all who marched through the streets with us, who, you know, went to the, it wasn't at the Criminal Justice Building, it was on the parkway.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, you know, where they handle family matters? And because
yeah.
these little young white boys who had raped this girl and mutilated her body as well. I think she was 13. And,
yes.
You know,
13.
They wind
mm-hmm.
up and they sent them home for Christmas because they parents and them protested that these rapists, and I'm saying these were some big, beefy, oversized teenage white boys, racist, predators. And that molested and raped this girl. And but Alton and them came down and helped give us those numbers that we needed. And you know, to protest. And some of the children and that was involved in our protest from here were some of the people that we're talking about now as young women. And who stood the ground with the rape of a young child here. That's why I'm saying, you know, it wrinkles me to the core. And all that these people have been able to get away with, what, you know, not only in the white community, damn it, we're going to stomp that out. And we did. We made sure that those people got time. But here goes something else that was going on at that time, that the that this young sister was raped, and they sent these white boys home and with those ankle bracelets. And you had the case of, at one of the high schools there in South Philadelphia, I think it was Southern, I'm not sure, and
mm-hmm.
who was attacked by some white boys, and they beat their ass. The black boys beat their ass. They winded up locked up. The mothers, this was all going on around the same time. We had a black
right.
judge, you know, and I can't think of his name right now, and because he was a lawyer at one point on the, you know, on the Move 9 trial. What, I can't think of this sucker.
Mm-hmm.
I could see his face just as bright as day. He was the one who let the white boys go home with ankle bracelets on their legs,
mm-hmm.
on their ankles,
mm-hmm.
and all for Christmas. But the black boys, He showed no mercy until we raised our voices and we raised our fists and we let him know we'll do the damn with this. And because what we did, and I got a small picture of him, blew it up, and, you know, explaining to people who he was. And he lived right in that parkway, right, I think it's like 2600 on the parkway,
mm-hmm.
this judge.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, we went on up to his area and was putting it up. Next thing you know, they let them brothers, you know, out there for, you know, until, you know, their case came to court. And, but all I'm saying is when we act our rage, we get a difference from these people. I'm not talking
Absolutely.
About tearing up anything because I'm saying it, you know, and I'm not one of them people who say, you know, don't do certain things. You got to do what is necessary to bring these monsters down to their knees. And, you know, and luckily, mm-hmm. and this isn't something that had to happen there. In fact, in Oakland, and because they are so sick of black men, black youth, black women being shot down by cops in the street and getting away with it. And, you know, like Oscar Grant, people go see, was it Ville, Frackville, and the movie at the Ritz, and starting Monday. It's about the murder of Oscar Grant. And
right.
it really personalizes who he is and what he was going through. A young, innocent black man shot down on camera, you know, and people seen him. Cop just deliberately took the gun out and shot him. You know? Nothing happened.
You know, Pam, I was over at Mama Akilda's Cafe earlier, and it just so happened we were having a dialogue about Oscar Grant. And do you know that there were several people in there who had never even heard of the case? Never even heard, not just the case, had never even heard about this young black man being shot. Had never, knew nothing about it.
You know, I'm not surprised a lot of them don't know about, you know, people that's being shot right here. Because we have our Oscar Grants right here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes,
yes, it did for several days. And it wasn't a thing when they could bring politicians in and slick talking. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember when they sent Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush is up in Chicago.
Bobby Rush, Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The brother that's down in California, in Oakland, and who is a former Panther. And when he came trying to quiet people down, and they ran his ass on up from out of there because they were so sick of them coming in and doing that stuff over and over again. And, you know, and said, you know, we got to handle it a certain way. And, you know, and that certain way always got the cops off. And, you know, so people, you know, have been in, you know, this turmoil, and, you know, with that, and, you know, sparks this fear from this
mm-hmm.
government of all these cities going up in, you know, total chaos
right.
to bring some order to what is going on here. So they're treading very lightly. Very lightly, because this movement is moving bigger and bigger and bigger every minute, every hour, every day. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they cannot contain it. And because one thing, although you see people jockeying to be at the head of this, it's a people's movement. And because there was no politicians who told the youth and the people who came out after the verdict had went down, that was the planning within the community. And
mm-hmm.
and it went by internet, by text, and you know, disconcerting people when a verdict come down, meet at Love Park. And and you know, the Twitter and all that stuff, and email and phone
mm-hmm.
and things, and people were there in massive numbers. And today,
yeah.
oh my God, today it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful, and to watch, and the reactions of officials and all who were, you know, and all, you know, official cops and things and all to see, my God, if this thing breaks loose, all hell is going to break loose here today. But people maintain and we understand that, you know, we got this.
Right.
We got this right now. And nobody was pushing for, you know, anything other than a massive movement of the people that is growing larger and larger every day. And out of that
That's right. Where
you get your people to fight for what's going on inside the prisons. What's going on with LIHEAP? That's another thing I want to talk about. I went to LIHEAP meetings last week. And, you know, for people who don't know what LIHEAP is, and all that, when the wintertime comes and you need some money to help pay for, you know, your gas or your electric, whatever form of heat that you have, I went to those meetings because I got my LIHEAP thing. I'm not getting but $100 this time. And, you know, and you, I mean, well, what the hell do that get? And, you know. We found out, and the sister who heads, she's white. She heads the homeless movement, Sherry. I can't think of Sherry's last name. But they filed a lawsuit against LIHEAP. And because do you know that there was $15 million that was left over from LIHEAP that they didn't use last year? Do you know how many people froze to death? Do you know how many people needed emergency help from the cold and they wouldn't release it because of some damn date that they set? It's a $15 million surplus. And, you know, this is the thing. When we went there and they had, you know, these four or five arrogant, you know, white folks from Harrisburg who came up and are acting as if they're doing us a favor. They want to hear what we had to say. And, you know, well, the brother who used to be with Max Weiner, he's now in City Hall. You know, he works in City Hall now. A consumer, I can't think of his name as well, too. And he said, I'm not testifying here to anything until you show me what you did with last year's testimony and the testimony of the year before. We keep coming here testifying and, you know, about the horrors of what is happening here and the LIHEAP people who workers and is pointing out the horrors of what's happening. They're taking LIHEAP. It used to be satellite offices around Philadelphia. Now everybody go to one office. I was out there in that line for hours. And are you talking about, you know, it was hot, it was frustrating, it was arguments getting ready to happen on that day that I was there. There was the elderly and all, you know, who couldn't stand good and all, you know, out there sweating, waiting to, you know, sign up for, you know, LIHEAP and all, you know, I mean, it was just horrible and this stuff went on day after day after day. I'm saying they had the money to open those satellite offices. That's why they had the $15 million, you know, thing. And then also they took a LIHEAP and put it in the hands of welfare, and everybody's LIHEAP and welfare checks and food stamps was getting all confused and all mixed up. Mm-hmm. This is what it was about. And what I'm saying to our brothers and sisters and out in the audience, just like me, I signed up for LIHEAP. And, you know, there's a whole lot of people, in order to get what is rightfully yours, you got to step up to the plate, because that place should have been overwhelmed with people. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. The majority of people there was LIHEAP workers protesting about the conditions and what is happening to us. And, you know, that sort of outraged me. And then you have to look at, you know, your politicians and things. And, you know, when they want your damn vote, they come and tell you what's all that's going on, but they couldn't tell people how urgent it is for them to get down there to Lahey. And also, there was none of them there. And what happened to the care for your recipients? You know?
Mm-hmm.
That you're supposed to be overseeing. If you ain't going to be there, damn it, let us know so that we can be there. But they wasn't there. And on the next show, I'm going to, get the information from Sherry so I can bring back the people on the lawsuit, the criminal lawsuit. And they told her she had to go to, I think, small claims court or something, and but the lawsuit that was brought against, the LIHEAP, heads for the state of Pennsylvania.
See, and Pam, this is why it's so important, and we can't reiterate this enough, why it's so important that we build our movement for women of African descent, that black women begin to really stand and come forward. And we used to be, as you know, in Philly we had a sister Roxanne Jones. We had so many sisters who we knew, that were directly involved in these issues. Now it's like, it's very difficult to really point out black women. You know, we got every other kind of woman representing in various issues, and when it comes to our own sisters, we don't have the ample advocates and activists that we need. So this is why, again, it's so important that we bring forward this Million Women Movement so that we could train more of our sisters to represent our interests, because no one has the story that we have in this country. And if we're not talking about it in that way, certainly we cannot get what we really ought to be getting. So I hear you, Pam, and I'm saying again, this next couple of months we're going to be organizing and making certain that sisters nationwide who were involved in the Million Woman March in 97 now know that we are, in fact, coming forward, building this global movement, and now we're going to see who and how many really meant what they saw and felt on October 25th of 1997. It's our 16th year anniversary coming, and we are bringing it in a way that they ain't going to believe what's getting ready to happen, because we're coming. We're coming.
Yes.
But I wanted to definitely get more information about the lawsuit, because one of the things that we're putting out there now is a call for pro bono lawyers and legal assistance and so forth, because we have petitions and other things that we're preparing to file in October when we go to the Justice Department, because the call is We Charge Genocide. And very shortly we're going to be bringing on Brother Randy Short, who is going to give us some additional information about Depo-Provera. That's one of those drugs out there that is not only causing all kinds of health problems with our sisters, but also infertility. And there's another one out there that we're now investigating. So we got to make sure that our sisters really know the dangers of some of the stuff that's going on and the permanent damage that it can cause. So we got a lot of issues that we have to deal with. And again, I am sick and tired of white women talking about women's issues, and then they're representing us in that whole circle. We cannot continue to allow that to happen, and we will not. So, sisters, you are hearing us tonight.
Or black women who carry white folks, white supremacist, programs into black communities.
Right.
And because when people see them coming like us, and where they won't deal with white people, they will deal with a black person trustingly,
right.
And
that's
get food. And because we have got to make sure that people understand that just because it's black does not mean that it have our interests in mind. Just like lawyers and do not have our interests in mind. They have the interests of this government, you know, in mind, because that's where their paychecks are coming from, and they deal with the laws of this land, which is foul, corrupt, filthy, and it's not for us. So, you know, we can't get confused by color. But we have this, that's right. You know, this is for the outside, not just.
In fact, that's one of the things in bringing forward the Men and Women Movement. You know, our philosophy is that the line is being drawn in the sand. And so, you know, it's not about trying to tell somebody what to do or how to do it, but what we are saying is, you know, you either going this way or you're in the way. And so you have that option. You can do whatever you want to do. But to identify who is who and what is what. What does it mean to be a black woman today or African woman today? What does that represent? We've got to ask that question now and get some answers so that our youth, our up-and-coming sisters know what it is we're talking about and why, so that we can understand that there is a difference, that we're not talking about feminism. We're talking about being African women, and there is a difference. And also, if you are representing the system, doing the work of the system to keep us down, then guess what? You are something else, and we've got to call it that way. So that's what's really getting ready to come into fruition. You know, calling it the way it is, you either are or you are not. Ain't no straddling the fence no more. Ain't no, I'm black when it's convenient or when it sounds good, but then you get behind closed doors and you making some deal to sell us out.
We also got to have the understanding that a lot of these black sisters don't understand that they're doing wrong. And it's our job to teach them. A lot of them don't. And I was one of them. And so, I mean, you know, because I didn't come from a place of knowing a lot of stuff. And, you know, I was doing things that I thought that was for the uplifting of my community, of my people, not knowing that I'm trained with the understanding that who trained me, whose schools did I go to, whose thought patterns did I have, and who was I, you know, and I would say, I'm not following, but I'm saying that was my mindset, and there's a lot of us that fall victim of, without understanding, so we got to have that patience to deal with them and bring them along. And, not to the point that they're actually really detrimental. I mean, it's a whole lot of people so
right,
damn confused. I'm
right.
telling you, I went right. to Rizzo dinners, okay? And,
my God.
That's what I did. And my hair was blonde. I didn't want to be nothing but one of them politicians. And the person who was helping me out was Earl Van. I didn't know. I thought that I was with people who, because I didn't know politics, I didn't understand that because of my upbringing. But there was people who were patient enough, move, and all to bring me through that. And and this warrior that you see behind, I had that same kind of vigor and fight back then. But I didn't understand that I was not fighting for our people and for what was right. And I was fighting for a brief, for the belief of a white supremacy and because I saw black and I thought that's what it was, that they were okay. And they used to help me get football, because I had a They used to help me with that stuff. I knew I can go to Earl Van, who was Rizzo's right-hand honky nick. I mean,
head nigga
in the neighborhood, and get stuff, I didn't see no problem with Rizzo, that's how blinded and crazy I was. I didn't see no problem with CBS, NBC, what they had in the media I thought was true. I feared the Panthers. I feared a movement because that's what they teach you. And there's so many of us.
And I do agree, except I got to say this, too. while your situation was you didn't know, some of these people, they do know.
Oh,
and
they do know. Oh, I'm talking about the ones that don't know.
Here's the other thing. Right, but here's the other thing even about that, too. See, at, during the time period that you're talking about, the access to information and the circulation of it wasn't happening then. It is happening now. The access
There's
to information and
information.
And hearing
they don't know how to deal with Sister Filet.
Yeah.
And it's so
much stuff out there. That's why my sister, I love you, and I'm so glad we got brothers and sisters who got that kind of patience. But some of us ain't here for that. Meaning, yes, it's misinformation, but we do know that on a daily basis you hear more about black issues and black situations than you ever had at any time. So, yes, there's still a lot of misinformation, but there's a lot of other information that is being circulated daily. And with that said, I know it is impossible, at least for some of us, to continue to sit back and act like they, you know, some of these people don't know what's going on. And they know that that's what's going to happen. They know that, you know, we're just these just loving, kind people, and that's how white people got over on us in the first place, because we always thought the best of everybody. And these Negroes today, they got the same mentality. Oh, yeah, they're going to let us fly. They're going to let us get through, so we're just going to go ahead and keep duking them up and selling them out. And here we are in 2013. They're doing the same thing now because we're letting them. And me, for one, No. It is time to deal with it. So again, you know, everybody's got a role to play. So I'm very thankful we got brothers and sisters.
And I ain't no joke, you know. I mean, people who need to be stepped to, I don't have no problem stepping to them anywhere. And, you know, we had one brother, and I'm not even going to mention his name, politician, and all that. You know who I'm talking about, who thought, I mean, did some wrong stuff to us. And, you know, he ran in the city hall up there where you used to keep the weapons on the first floor. And I went there, I turned that motherfucker out. You know? Ooh. FCC on here.
Pam, everybody know you on this line, so don't even ask.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you know. So I'm saying, you know, those that you do know, I don't have no tolerance for their crap. And, you know, but I'm talking about people. There is a, you know, and I learned through experience and how I was taught. And, you know, because I'm saying, you know, I was crazy. You know, crazy, you know, with this system. And someone had the time to see that, you know, they had to bring me through there. And, you know, and it was done so fast. I came in this movement in 1977 where Move was on one corner and the cops was on the other corner, and they got every kind of high-powered weaponry that there is, and here's this family of, you know, I used to call them mop heads, and all, you know, that, yeah, that's what I used to call them, you know. I said, look at the mop heads down on the corner. And all, you know, I was so sick that when the police attacked them, I didn't understand that they were attacking us, you know. I didn't understand that they were attacking us. And, you know, they were attacking them because they did something wrong. You know, it was a whole lot of learning that I had to go through. And I'm telling you, I went through a whole lot of hard meetings and things. And, you know, from a family that, and that's the Move organization that cared and loved and nurtured me and brought me right on out of that insanity. And, you know, a lot of people say that I'm crazy now. And so I'm saying, crazy means that, you know, you fighting this government uncompromisingly. I'm about as crazy as the fuck they come. Excuse me, God. You know, because, you know, I get carried away. You know, I will be crazy. Turn me that. And, you know, but I'll tell you one thing, you ain't going to turn me a damn traitor. You know, you ain't going to turn me someone who will not listen and understand.
I know that's right.
And, you know.
Well,
And when the listening
well,
and understanding is over, and if you're not moving, then you got to get out my way. And when I find, see that time is being wasted, because I'm always going to be there for you. At the point that you stop acting silly, you can come on back. And because we got work to do.
Well, Pam, hold that point right there. We're going to go and take a couple of calls. Before we do, though, I just want to kind of give an example of why I say what I say and why I do what I do. And it's this. Like earlier today while we were at Clark Park, of course, one of the local state representatives was there. And I've seen this man so many times. He looked at me like he didn't know who I was, and then I gave him one of our flyers, letting him know about the 16-year anniversary, and then he's going to go, oh, you involved in this? What? See, that kind of stuff right there, knowing that this man was trying to lie right in my face, and know that said to him, you saw what I said to him?
Yes, yes.
I made it very clear to him, oh, we've met before. So he said, oh, it's nice to meet you. I said, oh, no, we've met before. So let's not act like you don't know who I am now. I'm not a co-founder. I'm the founder, okay?
That's right.
So he looked and smiled because I got word earlier today that at the rally that you were talking about, that the president of the local NAM introduced Asia Cooney as the co-founder of the Million Women March. That's a lie.
Oh,
and
I
so,
didn't see it. I wasn't there for that.
Oh, I know you didn't. I know you didn't. But it was a lie. And so we were planning to do this anyway. Come October, we're calling for a great debate because the record needs to be set clear as well as the truth about our history. And so we're going to ask Dr. Tony Monterio and Dr. Molefi Asante to be on the kind of panel to ask questions for the debate. And my sister, you are invited as well.
Oh, well, I know the story. And
I know
the story. And I know the story from day one,
I know you do.
I know I can chart them when everybody came along. I know
absolutely.
It was your dream, and it was
absolutely
brought into fruition, and from a lot of people participated, but we all came up under your dream, and that the ancestors gave you that was made a reality. I know that, and I would not allow anybody to say it any different. And this government, they always work at rewriting history. And but this isn't history. This is our story. This is
absolutely
our story. And we will not allow it to be. And I'm saying, these, different people that came in, they came in and they added to, as was set down by the ancestors. They all brought their different skills and things that helped make it, what it was. But the original idea and the concept came from you.
Financing. Okay. And the first financing. All right. Out of my cultural shop. But
that's
nevertheless,
right.
We're going to go into that a little later on because we got to make sure, again, that the record is set straight and we're going to do that. No more, when we talked earlier, we talked about we're going to expose perpetrators and sex offenders in our community. We're going to also expose perpetrators and frauds in our community. So that's due to come. But we're going to go to our live line now. And our live line has already been live, as you all know, with Sister Pam Africa. But we want some of you to give your comments and views, so you can push one now. We're going to bring in Dr. Randy Short, Sister Pam, in about 2 minutes, but before we do, we're going to go to one caller, and then we're going to bring in Dr. Randy Short. Caller, you're at 6426. Do you have a comment or a question for us for tonight?
No, I just want to chime in and say once again, it's a beautiful show. This is Yasin, 360 Wise Guy, and thank you for all of these.
My brother.
Yes, how your sister's doing, and Brother Randy Short. I just wanted to tap in so I can get some more enlightenment, and if the time it's still open, I'll just barge in whenever I possibly can. But I'm just sitting
all
here
right.
working
well,
on
I'm gonna
this video.
All right, well, I'm going to keep your mic open, brother. I'm going to keep your mic open because I'm glad that you called in while Sister Pam Africa is on. This brother, Sister Pam, has been on me. He said, look, send me as much information as you can about political prisoners.
Oh, okay.
That's what he told me the other day, okay? Yeah. So
I'm going to email Sister Soleil in a few. Well, I don't know how to work this darn computer, but probably by the morning. The information from Brother Cindy Adekowi and Sekou Odinga on a brother who is the head of the RNA that passed. I'm going up to New York Monday for his funeral services on who this brother is, why we should remember him, why we all are going up there to, you know, honor this brother, you know, at his going home ceremony. And also, you know, and we can get, you know, some other people on to call in and, you know, do a discussion, you know, on this brother. I've met him. I had no idea that this brother, I knew he was a good brother, but I had no idea that this brother is who he is. And, you know, the giants that walk amongst us and are humble giants, you know, you don't even know. And, you know, because he was never one, you know, to say, you know, I did such and
that's
such,
right.
And bump and bump and bump and bump. And, you just knew that he was a good brother and he was a warrior and he's somebody that you can depend on. That's how I knew him. And, you know, so I'll make sure that Sister Filet get that information and you will get it too,
yes.
Brother. Political prisoners.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, Brother Yestim, you hold on right there. We're going to bring in our brother, Dr. Randy Short, who's going to also give us an update on a lynching that recently occurred in Texas. And guess what, family? Because this brother was dating a white girl, okay? So we're going to open up that line right about now. Yeah, brother. And now joining us is Dr. Randy Short. Hey, brother.
Ashe, ashe, ashe.
Brother Randy.
How are you, Queen Mother of Resistance, Pam Africa? God bless you. I am, you are the two people in Philadelphia that I had begged people, please let me know them. I won't call them too much. I just got to know who they are. And I'm just very thankful for the opportunity to talk to you. I want to run down just a very simple piece. The brother's name is Anthony Cody Lee Ingram. He's an athlete, nice looking guy. He was 18 years old, living in Athens, Texas. He had a funeral on July 19, 2013, I believe at the King Funeral Home. Their local newspaper, thank God for this sister whose name is escaping me, but this sister put it out that this so-called suicide didn't make the smell test, but this poor brother who could, I mean, this dude was so pretty, he could have been a woman, and dudes would have run after him. So I know the ladies loved him. What he was doing with, you know, one of those Cabbage Patch-looking cave women is beyond me, especially when the cave woman has another man who's a cave man. That's the match he should let her have. So he was lynched July 14th in Athens, Texas. And by the way, born October 19th, remember Malcolm?
Oh, no.
His birthday was on the 19th of May. And, you know, 19 is a big number. There are all these nines, the assassination of Malcolm Chavez. In fact, his birthday was July 19th. I'm sorry, not his birthday. I'm sorry. His birthday was October 19th. And, of course, they buried him on the 19th. That's very interesting. You know the family passes. I've tried to track them down. It's all strange, but they found him hung from a tree. They said he committed suicide, but if you see his Twitter account, it's so upbeat. It's clear this boy was in love with the enemy. There's nobody trying to kill themselves with that much, but all this sweet, kind stuff in Twitter. I won't leave that there. I want to talk about this old cop out in Landover, Maryland. His name is his nickname, and I'm calling this Operation Blow Pop, or I should call it Operation Puff Daddy, because this cop goes around arresting young black men, and you have to puff on daddy, and I really mean puff, just below the navel to get the handcuffs off.
Wow.
Now, I found that out when I went out to this event to speak at this go-go party, and the police tried to bust it up, and, you know, I called the news. I mean, I wish I was as radical as Sister Pam Africa. I would have gone out with the bat, but I called the news and the other people, and I think the news people called them, then they decided they didn't want to be there, and their problem was this sister has a space for young people to get together, mostly young black men, and listen to go-go music. And while it's not my favorite kind of music, white folks go to headbanging places, Hispanics, everybody gets drunk and pee on the floor, and the cops aren't trying to put them all in a paddy wagon. So why can't young black folks be in a safe place and listen to their vulgar music at a decibel level that's comfortable to their early hearing loss, you know? So I told that sister we're gonna go after these cops because I'm sick of cops. I mean, I don't even like wannabe cops. The first one I can think of is Zimmerman. And I'm just so upset that he missed out on being a lonely black prisoner's girlfriend when they acquitted him. He wouldn't have made a very good looking wife. I hope he can cook. But anyway, there's a lot going on. I want to let y'all know that this thing on Malcolm is cooking down in Mexico. I sent out a report. There is a black Mexican senator that is fired up and wants answers to what happened to Malcolm. With the inspiration of Sister Filet and Sister Pam, I have to admit, doing this thing on Malcolm is very hurtful for me, so I'm delayed. But I got it out Friday. I don't know if they're going to say yes to the date, but you know what? I said white folks don't ask 4 weeks in advance when they want something. They want it the next day, and they get it. So let's see if we can get the day that we want. And by the way, they don't even understand. I was between calls. The African Orthodox Church and other people want in on this. This is international. And I can't use her name so much as a backer, but Queen Mother supports this. So we are moving forward on Truth for Malcolm. And when it comes to Depo Provera, I'm very happy. I want to give my praise report to my sisters that me and my colleague, the attorney Kwame Fosu, I was on Press TV. It went worldwide. And that's the beginning. It will go all over the world that they're killing our women with this drug. We've had people from one population group that's come forward that said they want to help us go after the company. We have some law firms that want to sue everybody. I believe that this is a pre-step to reparations. And this is a consecrated date that I would even be able to talk to someone like Pam Africa, because the UNIA was established 99 years ago today. Praise God.
Wow.
And so in the spirit of that, when you think about it, I got a call from a person that's Sudanese. I want to bring them in relationship with you, Sister Phile, because I know some Nuba women who are the victims of rape as a weapon. In Africa, this has been going on for 2 years, and I say it's time we stop it. And stop it not just there. We're going to stop this everywhere. We're sick and tired of this happening to our women, and I believe that we can honor our ancestors and the pre-centennial year that we began to make the moves and the steps to realize that we can have a universal African Improvement Association that is viable, that begins to push back these people. And so I just wanted to put that out there and leave it with, we're going to get Puff Daddy or Puff Copy or whatever we want to call himself, or Puff Blue Line or whatever. You know, they always have excuses for why they're freaks. And, cops beat the hell out of their wives. Most police belong in jail. In fact, for a lot of them went, they'd be nicer people when they got out, if they got out. So I just want you to keep this sister with this Ma'at school and your thoughts and your meditation. I will assist Sabrina was there with us. We're observers. We're going to go after the local cops, make them feel uncomfortable.
All right.
Okay. So I'm done here. I've said what I have to say.
All right, well, just to recap, because for those who might not have caught some of that, we're talking about, of course, the further investigation into the murder of Malcolm Latif Shabazz, who, of course, was the grandson and the only male heir of El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X. He was, of course, assassinated in Mexico. And Brother Randy Short, Sister Pam Africa, myself, Brother Raza Khan Shahid, Sister Sabrina, and others will be going to the embassy at some point in the very near future to be able to sit down with the embassy representatives so that we can get some real answers and some real documentation about what happened to our young brother Malcolm. This is something that has been resting on Brother Randy's shoulders for a while. And certainly those of us who saw Brother Malcolm as the great potential that he did in fact have and would have, we believe, been able to fulfill or manifest a lot of what we expected. Unfortunately, that was interrupted suddenly. And the question is, to what degree was that really planned? I mean, accidents, well, not accidents, things do happen, but did that just happen, or was it a happening because it was designed as such? So these are some of the things that we feel obligated to look into, and this is what Dr. Randy Short has just given you some insight into. We will be doing that in the very near future, and we'll certainly be reporting back to you all, family, once we have gotten more insight into that. One other question for you, Brother Randy. I don't know if you got the opportunity to look at an email I sent you earlier in regard to another birth control thing that's out there. Did you get a chance to see that yet?
Yes. I saw it, but it didn't open up, but I'm familiar with it. This was used experimentally, and it killed women in Kenya. And here's a great contradiction, sister. The main person fighting against that drug is a white Catholic congressman by the name of Chris Smith from New Jersey, who has begged the Congressional Black Caucus members, male and female, to help him stop the killing of African women in Africa, and he has no takers. Can you imagine a white Catholic fighting for black women, begging blacks, please? I feel bad about what white people are doing to black people. I want to stop it. I'm not like this. I'm ashamed. Please. And the black folk in Congress have no time for him, including your congressman in Philly, and all of them, because we can just break this down. Emily's List, and I guess if there's anybody black and male that comes out and says any reproductive stuff too hard, they'll run a black woman that's for lesbianism and baby killing to get the black dude out. So now nobody talks about stuff because they don't want to deal with running against well-funded candidates. But I have to ask myself, what the hell does it mean to be black and in Congress if you don't stand for anything? You know, I always say to myself, when I can see white men and the National Association for Boy and Men Lovers, we're talking about pedophiles, can create a political movement to make being unnatural and perverse something to be respected. We're talking about freaks, people who belong on death row. Why is it the black folks that we vote for, why can't they do anything? Why can't they stand on anything? They didn't stand on Katrina, and they're not standing on Detroit. And we know Obama would save Detroit. People full of white folks, especially if they were sissies. I mean, shoot. He tipped Michelle to bail Detroit out.
And on that note, family, in case you haven't heard, Detroit filed bankruptcy on, I think, Thursday, and it is historic because this is the largest city to file bankruptcy, and the amount of money that is owed is just astronomical. We have some statistics for you about Detroit that we're going to share with you at another time because we were able to track down some very interesting history over the past couple of years as to what has been going on in Detroit. And interestingly enough, the prediction that we got came from a source that listed this stuff in February, saying that Detroit was going to file bankruptcy in February of this year. And, of course, they just filed two or three days ago. We know that Detroit is going to be an example of what's happening all over the country, because just as in Philly we have 2035, well, Detroit had 2013, okay, which is right now, where they get ready to just do the whole thing all over again. And, of course, Reverend Pinckney, who's over in Benton Harbor, Michigan, is talking about how Whirlpool has taken over there. And so the beat goes on, and this is what's happening nationwide, because, again, as a people, we won't get organized. We are very reactionary, which reminds me, again, we are talking about a boycott for Florida, but, family, please contact the National MWM, because our plan and proposal is not just to boycott, but as I was talking with Dr. Randy Short yesterday, we'll be talking with Sister Pam tomorrow and others, we are setting up a negotiating team along with some other things, cause to just tell people don't buy products, come on now, that's not really too intelligent. There's got to be some other stuff that goes with that. And we want to make sure that we have coordinators in different cities so that when the products are brought into the city, we can begin to monitor those stores. We can also advise people in their city what product to utilize as an alternative. That takes coordination. That takes more than just putting out on postings or on the email, boycott, boycott, boycott. We've got to be more sophisticated and more organized. So we're going to tell you more about that as we proceed later on in the week. But going back to our live line, Dr. Randy Short and KM Sister PM Africa are with us live tonight. And as you can tell, they're both live and in living color, as usual. Dr. Randy Short, you went to a rally earlier tonight. You gave us some indication as to what happened. Is there anything else coming up in the D.C. area that might be relevant to the Trayvon Martin situation? And may I add, we're going to also make certain that we continue to talk about Marissa Alexander.
Well, you know, my sister, there were several protests. And there are likely to be more. I didn't go to NAM. they should call it NAM. But I know the people in D.C. are very nice. They're very nice. But, you know, when you have some of the an Afrocentric Beatles bobblehead doll, with dolls, Pam, in the 60s, it bounce around. And I don't know if it's gastro bypass or AIDS to think that man's so small. I like to go to be fat. And he wasn't such a big sellout, then at least we didn't know it. Now he's smaller and he's a big traitor. So I don't know. You think he'd be big traitor with the fat. Now he's small. He's a bigger traitor. But there are groups that are doing things. I am looking at plugging into a group that reached out to me here because they're now fighting against gentrification in Anacostia. How this is all woven together, we'll find out. But I will say this, the group that I met with tonight, they're mostly into just banging their head, you know, black headbangers. But if we find what's beautiful about the young people there, there's a young man who's a Twitter warrior. In fact, Homeland Security went after the event. They tried to close it, and then the police, because these young people have a network in which they can tweet thousands of people to the point that Homeland Security was at my sister Offset's door threatening her yesterday. So what we will do is to use that same Twitter network to now have something for Trayvon, but I need to first see them. So I'll talk to her
okay,
tomorrow.
Okay, you're fading in and out, so you need to make sure you hold your phone steadily.
Well, no, we're talking about freedom. That's when they start messing with your phone.
Oh.
Now, let me say slavery. Now, y'all heard that, right? Submit.
Yes.
Obey white people. Okay, now it's all clear. Now, if I say freedom, the sound will go down. They're just playing. It's called Homeland Insecurity. We don't care about them. And they don't give us jobs anyway, so I really don't like them. But I think that this group of young people that tweet are capable of mobilizing. So I believe that there could be, and I'm going to request, because we had talked about having vigils just tonight with the loud noise and headbanging. That's not how you organize people, but I will have one. So we look to not just do that. We want Malcolm included. And if I get it my way, Pan Africa one day will come down and teach some folks about political prisoners, because I was interviewed, and I made a comment that Obama was a hypocrite to go to Nelson Mandela's cell in Robben Island. In fact, had I been there, I would have locked it so he didn't get out. Michelle wouldn't miss them because she doesn't have them anyway. And I said it. And so I see that opportunity, and I'm going to make good with this sister. She had about 200 young people out. So she has the capacity. We only need like 10. So can you imagine
okay.
if you get Pam after set off a couple of them? So I see that coming, and I see that developing within this calendar week.
Okay. Well, I'm going to definitely get in contact with the sister and perhaps get her on our program for next week. We only have maybe 5 more minutes, family, so we're going to give the mic back to Sister Pam Africa for her closing comments for tonight. And Reverend, please know it's just for tonight because you know she's coming black. But we want to hear Sister Pam's comments for tonight. And then we're going to get ready to close out. But we do want to remind all of you that we may be doing some other special editions this week because a lot of stuff is happening. Correction on the date for the Million Women Movement's rally is not the 27th. It'll be on the 28th, which is next Sunday at Love Park if you're in the Philadelphia area. And during the course of the week, we're going to ask sisters who attended the Million Women March, hold a rally in your city. Hold a rally in your city and not only talk about justice for Trayvon, talk about the boycott, talk about some of the other issues that are in our community, the violence and abuse of our women and girls, and also, of course, justice for Marissa Alexander. Let's bring some of these issues together as we begin to stand together to fight the system, because that's what it's really, really about. And so, you know, again, the rally that we'll have here in Philly will be on the 28th, that's next Sunday, at 4 o'clock at Love Park. We'll be giving you more information about that, and we'll also have some information for you about Saturday, the 27th, which will be the celebration of Queen Mother Moore. That's her Earth Day on July 27th. We're going to have a reparations teach-in, so we'll be telling you more about that as well. We're going to give the mic back to Sister Pam Africa, and of course, as usual, I always love having my sister on with us because what can I tell you? She brings it raw and real, and we need that in this day and age because we're getting so much fluff and other stuff that we need to hear clarity and concisiveness, and that's what we bring here at New Day. Sister Pam, what is our closing comments from you for tonight?
No compromise, resist.
Mm.
That's right.
Brother Randy,
no compromise.
It's good being on that front line with you, Delaware. you know, mm-hmm. fighting and all about the hanging of black men, you, myself, Sister mm-hmm. Belay, and Brother Automatics, and all, you know, mm-hmm. People learn about some of these things and all that, you know, we are, you know, dealing with. And, again, resist. Get on the move.
All right. And I just want to add, before Sister Pam leaves, that earlier today we sent out to some of you the picture of the gun that George Zimmerman used to kill Trayvon Martin. And we want you to see that gun. I mean, that thing was, that was no joke, for real. But the other thing we wanted to tell you about that is that the Justice Department, of course, has said that they're going to keep the gun because now they are investigating the case. The other thing that I did not put in the email because I just found out about that earlier this evening is when we talk about Koch Industries, well, there is a very popular gun out there that Koch is very much involved in. It's called Hackett Koch Gun. You got to see it because this is what they give the Secret Service. So now let's connect the dots again, family. We've been talking about ALEC, which, of course, is the legislative body that helps to push Stand Your Ground. And also remind you, when we have our rally next Sunday, we're going to make it very clear that folk in Philly and in Pennsylvania need to be doing what? Dealing with that, because Pennsylvania is a stand-your-ground state. So why do we have people here in Philly talking a lot of stuff, but ain't saying nothing about stand-your-ground is right here in Philly? That's a law. In the state of Pennsylvania, stand-your-ground exists. You see, so now, next point, Koch. Koch put a lot of money. The Koch brothers is on Forbes. They are on the top 10 of the billionaires for private companies for the Forbes publication, Financial Guide. Now, who is pushing the Stand Your Ground? Who helps to finance it? Koch Industries, along with the NRA. But again, Koch is also known for making weapons. So, of course, they're going to push the lobbyists in the legislation in order to keep certain gun laws active. We're going to talk more about that the next time. But going back to the products that we're talking about boycotting, we have connected some of those products with Koch, a major corporation in this country. Oh, and by the way, the name is not really pronounced Koch the way it's spelled. It's spelled K-O-C-H. It's really pronounced Coke. Coincidence? Perhaps not. They're billionaires, and their name is Coke? Things that make you want to go, Anyway. Moving right along. So with that said, Brother Yassim is going to be joining me. We are doing a special edition, I believe, on August 3rd, Brother Yassim? I don't remember right offhand, but we might have lost Brother Yassim, but I think it's on August 3rd. We're going to have Jasari X joining us live.
Uh-oh.
And, of course, a few days ago, yeah, we got Jasari X joining us, Sister Pam, out of Pittsburgh. Okay?
Revolutionary
rapper. I think it's August the 3rd. I have to check on that. But, again, we'll be doing some special editions because we have a lot of stuff going on this week. Again, we've been talking with Brother Dr. Randy Short. Oh, and by the way, okay.
Oh, I wondered. Just if we did a poll, do you think Obama would kiss that gun of Zimmerman if they took it to the White House?
Well, let's put it like this. I'm going to answer and say, since he said Hello? That 25 years ago,
Hello?
Yes, we got you, brother. We got you.
Okay,
since we said 25 years ago that, Obama said 35 years ago that it could have been him. That's what he said, that Trayvon Martin could have been him 25 years ago.
But why did it have to be 25? I mean, it could happen to him now.
Whatever.
Is he saying America has changed? I mean, he hasn't changed. He's living in the 19th century. So why is America in the 21st?
Wow.
Yeah, well, we
all
know. Someone said earlier today when we were talking about that, someone said, look, they thought Michelle told him, look, you better get out there and say something. And so that's what he said.
Okay, well, that's the best he can do. She's sorry to have him in the same room as her. He'd be in the doghouse, the couch in the basement, or a bathhouse somewhere. That's where he really wanted to be anyway. But anyway, you know, I want to say that Helen Thomas died. Y'all heard about that, did you not?
Yes, I heard about
it.
No. Okay, well,
I didn't.
Can I give y'all a piece of gossip? I'm going to break history on your show. You know that Helen Thomas and I used to trade emails, did you not? I never told you about
that.
I need to pull that up because, you know, Obama's given all these tributes to her, but he didn't give one to Marcus Garvey, anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And while he kisses her behind, and he really didn't like her, I'm looking for an email that she sent me. Hold on, I'm going to find it 1 second. And I'm going to read you what, oh, here it is. Obama's not a liberal. He's a politician who cares about himself. He puts on a good show and talks the talk, but he treats the press as though we're kindergarten and his news conferences are prefixed. That's part of an email sent on the 23rd of June, 2009, and my favorite one from 2009. Obama is a disappointment and a politician. No guts.
Wow.
I can't wait. Well, this is her email. She didn't have to say that because, you know, I think Obama is African for bullshit in whatever language that is. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. It means I hate being black. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. Nothing. Not a problem. Well, family, as you can tell, we have had another wonderful dialogue and somewhat of an exciting program tonight. Before we close out, I just want to leave you with a thought, and we'll talk about this the next time. For those who are familiar with the actress known as Ray Dawn Chung, apparently she has jumped into the fire because they are attacking her like all get out because she talks some real stuff about Oprah. And if you haven't heard about it, you might want to check it out. Personally, I thought it was very interesting. And the first time that I heard such poignant remarks about Oprah Winfrey, we'll talk about that next time. But for right now, we're going to get ready to close out this segment of New Day Resurrection Liberation as we continue to strive for true Ma'at and certainly Hotep. And as we often say, there can really be no real peace. And as you have often heard our brother Arthur Maddox say, no justice, no peace. Well, that is for certain, because there can be no real Hotep, which is also peace, unless there is, of course, Ma'at, which, of course, is justice. And this is why we call it the Ma'atik Ipash family. The Mean Woman March and now its movement is declaring what is known as the Ma'atik Ipash, meaning it's a time in history now for Ma'at, for justice, for balance, for harmony, and for reciprocity. And I dare say for retribution. Well, with that said, we're going to close out this segment of New Day Resurrection. Please go check out Mos Def and the tribute that he's done to Trayvon Martin. We thought we were going to be able to revisit that for you tonight. We don't have time, but we'll try to bring it back for you later on in the week with better clarity. The name of it is called Made You Die. Very powerful, powerful piece. Was featuring, I think, Stickman. That's who it was, not M1, Stickman.
Dead Prez,
that's right. I do have my brother back on. Oh, before we go, we have Desori X coming on when, Brother SM?
I believe it's between the 7th and the 17th. I got to look at the calendar, but we definitely have him
okay.
scheduled.
Okay, yep, we'll definitely keep you all posted on that because, again, we're getting ready to proceed with slamming some of these so-called artists. Billy Sim is working on being able for you all to post who you feel is the 10 most disgusting, exploitive, degrading so-called artists. We're going to have that ready for you come next week so that we know what you feel and who you think we need to be now dealing with. When we say boycott, we're going to say Lil Wayne. When we say boycott, we're going to be saying whoever else, okay? Because they all need to be got, and we're about ready to get them. But that's it, family. We're going to leave you again, as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at, meaning truth and justice, as we strive for true Hotep. Love you all, family. Sister Pam, you know I love you. Dr. Randy Short, definitely so. Billy SM, you as well.
Peace.
And family, we are now out, but definitely not going to stop. Until next time, Tutanana, promote to the Shinda. Together, we shall win. Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace.